Hello everyone, welcome to Becoming, Growing into Adulthood, where we delve into the stories of those who've come before us. We're seeking to be inspired by their lives and what they have to say. I'm Emerson, and I just turned 19. I've just stepped into adulthood, and I know I have much more to learn. Thank you for coming along on my journey. I hope it can be yours as well. Today we'll be talking with Gail Courtney, my grandmother. Gigi is someone who can be trusted and a rock I can rely on. No matter what I'm going through, I know I can go to her for godly counsel and advice. She loves others so well through her hospitality and care for other people. She's modeled what it looks like to be a woman who loves her family, friends, and church well. Let's listen to what she has to say. I know it is going to be good. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm joined by Gail Courtney. This is a special episode because she's my grandmother. I think she's full of a lot of wisdom, so I just wanted to have her on today so we can just hear a little bit more about her life and she can kind of share what she's learned over the years with us today. So I'm just going to give her a couple minutes to introduce herself.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gail Courtney, Emerson's grandmother. She's my oldest granddaughter, and I love her dearly. I am a native South Carolinian, and my husband was in the Air Force for his 5 years, and then we've stationed in Charleston, and we have resided there, or in the Somerville area of Charleston, for the rest of our lives. So that's where we are today. I taught school for my career after raising my children and staying home with them. Then finished my teaching career and am now retired and enjoying doing things at home as well as in my church.
That's awesome.
that's a little bit about me.
Thank you. So just to start, just tell me a little bit about your growing up experience and kind of where you grew up and then what it was like and then how you came to know the Lord as well.
I grew up in a farming community near Cameron, South Carolina, which is about 10 miles from Orangeburg, in a very close-knit community. It was the community where my mother had grown up. After my grandfather died, my mom and dad moved back there. And it was just a very, very close-knit community. I think my growing up years revolved around the school and then, of course, my church, both very, very important. I went to a very small school, was in school with the same classmates first through eighth grade. And I think that was very, very formative. Very unique later on when I learned. I guess I thought everyone had done that, but found out that they had not.
Was that the only school in your town?
It was the only school.
That's crazy.
It was the school that my mother had attended. I actually had the same first grade teacher that she had had.
That's crazy.
Wasn't that something? So it was just very, very unique growing up. My schoolmates' parents had been, you know, friends of my mom's growing up. So that was a unique experience. And then, of course, at church also, our community, my husband laughs and says that there are only about five names in the cemetery. So all the families had been large families. So boys of one family married girls of the other family. So I had cousins everywhere and second and third cousins everywhere. But it was just a very wonderful, wonderful place to grow up.
That's awesome.
The church that we attended had been the church that my mom and dad, actually, my grandparents had been charter members of that church when it started back in the early 1900s. So very, very special place. My religious training was right there.
And that's like how you came to know Jesus, was through that church and your family?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
You know, it was just such a part of our lives, and it's very special.
That's awesome.
But, you know, looking back at the folks in my community who, you know, shaped my early years through Sunday school, well, I grew up in a Baptist church, so we had BTU on Sunday nights, and I can remember early sword drills.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Bible was very important, and I actually battled with one of the preacher's sons, and that was, we were battling it out.
That's funny.
But, yes, and then I think I was 8 when I was baptized, which was very special.
That is really special.
Yes.
I didn't even know that. I didn't know that you were raised in a Baptist church.
Yes.
That's really sweet. So going into kind of your college years and like end of high school, early college, like where did you go? And if you can remember, what were you like?
Oh, my goodness. Well, back up and just give you a little history of school. I told you I was with the same group of boys and girls from friends from first through eighth grade. Then we moved to Aiken, where I was a part of a much larger school system. There were two junior highs, of which I attended one for 1 year and then went to the high school. Mm-hmm. There was only one high school at that point. So meeting new friends, becoming involved in a new church was all very instrumental. Had some wonderful mentors at church through Sunday school, choir, just wonderful foundation there as well. When I finished high school, since my sister, a year younger, who was following me to Winthrop, we were both going there, and to help my parents out, I went straight through college in 3 years. And so graduated from high school one night I don't even remember what night of the week it was, but the next morning, Daddy drove me to Winthrop to start summer school.
That's crazy.
So that was the beginning of my years at Winthrop.
That's crazy. And it's so interesting because now, I mean, there's summer classes that are offered in person sometimes, but most of the time, if people are going to take summer classes, they're going to take them online. And so just the experience is so different from like when you were in college to now.
Absolutely.
With me being in college, it's crazy.
Right. I can't imagine what y'all do online.
Everything.
So foreign from all of my school experiences. But I went straight through with a couple of weeks between summer school and regular session, and oh goodness.
Was that exhausting, or did you get used to it?
Very. And we had, it was very different because we had compulsory classes the day before and after any holidays. So
what does that mean?
You couldn't take, like, for Thanksgiving.
I had to
be in class, you know. I couldn't drop, you know, well, not attend classes the day before a holiday.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
And go home early. Yes. And in fact, my first Thanksgiving, Mom and Daddy didn't even know I was going home, and I had a biology lab until 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
And the girl that I was riding home with picked me up in front of the lab building. And of course it was prayer meeting night. So she dropped me off at church, and I slipped into the pew next to them with my overnight bag.
That is so sweet.
And they didn't even know I was coming home. So
Did they
that was special.
cry? Or were they just excited to
They
see
probably
you?
did. I don't remember, but I just remember that happening. That was so special. But anyway, I came from a family of teachers. My mom had been a teacher, aunts on my dad's side, cousins. So I've followed in those footsteps and majored in education, elementary education. Did my practice teaching in Sumter, South Carolina, which was interesting. My supervising teacher retired that year, and I just stepped right into her classroom the following fall.
Oh,
So
what?
that was interesting.
Was it good, or like, was that a good thing to happen so you could get a job right out the bat, or was that kind of difficult?
Oh, it was perfect. It was perfect. What was interesting then too, I did not have a car, and so I had to find a place to live close to the school. And looking back, it was the Lord's hand was in all of that, because the principal knew of a family that lived in the a subdivision that was right next to the school, and their older daughter had finished college and left, and he asked them if they would, take me in for the to for room and board with them. So they welcomed me in as a member of their family, and then I walked to school every morning. And
That's
that well
crazy.
that was when I was practice teaching. Two friends, one from Aiken and then another one from Winthrop. Well, both of all of us had been at Winthrop, but we just rented a little house together.
What? That's so cool.
So yeah, when I got the
Did they have
job,
cars
so
too? Or no?
they had cars. I still didn't have a car.
Oh
Yes,
no.
yes.
Did you still walk to
And
school?
no, one of them, they both taught middle school, so one of them dropped me off at my school on their way, because it was near their school, her school. So yeah,
That's so
that was
sweet.
interesting. Yes. Anyway, that was my college experience. Yes.
That's sweet. And then, so you started teaching. How long did you teach at the school in Sumter?
That was interesting too. I only
One
taught that one semester.
semester.
One semester. Granddaddy came home at Christmas and we got married and went to Laredo, Texas for his pilot training.
You're kidding. I didn't know you only stayed
No.
there one semester.
On one
So,
semester, that was very different.
did you wait, what is the timeline? Like, when did you guys like start dating and then get engaged and then get married?
That was very, very quickly done too. We knew each other in high school. He was ahead of me in high school, but we knew each other. And but we didn't start dating until that summer, and of after my senior year.
So, the summer after your senior year of college?
Yes. And then before he left to go to pilot training, he proposed and we became engaged, and he left to go to Texas and came home in December, and we got married and went back to Texas. So
Whoa.
yeah.
So how was that transition of like all like if you start the year, you started the year as a
Yes.
young single in college girl, and then you ended the year like married
Right.
in Texas. Like
Well,
you never lived anywhere other than South Carolina.
very different, very different. And in Texas, I had to be you had to be bilingual to teach. And of course, I had, because Laredo was right on the border. I had taken French in college, in high school and college, and of course that was Spanish. So part of that year, 2 or 3 months, I guess, I finished out of kindergarten space, a spot on base in their kindergarten class, one of their classes.
I gotcha. And then how long did y'all live in Texas before you moved again?
We were in Texas until the following fall, and then went to Oklahoma for training in the 141, the plane that Granddaddy flew here in Charleston, and then came to Charleston in January. And then I finished out a year for someone who had gotten pregnant.
Okay.
So that's how I began my teaching career.
Whoa.
In Charleston.
That's crazy. So your first couple teaching jobs were like very random.
Pieces of years.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's good that like the schools and stuff were flexible with you being like the wife of a guy in the military, because I feel like nowadays they'd make you stay, you know, stay out there while, and then you'd have to be separated from Granddaddy, and you know, that's sweet that let you move with him.
Right. Right.
When was it then that you like gave birth to my dad? Like, was that like a couple years later? And like, cause I know it was in Charleston, so.
It was in Charleston. And at the time, the war in Vietnam was going on, mm-hmm. and Granddaddy was flying in and out of Vietnam. And so we decided that we would wait. So I taught school for 2.5 years in North Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got, and I guess as I was teaching, I realized that I wanted to be at home when we had children, with my children. So
that's so fair.
We made that decision together, and we were fortunate enough to be able to do that. So when I got pregnant with your dad, I stopped teaching. Then Aaron came along, and then Stuart came along. And the plan was, when Stuart got to first grade or began first grade, that I would go back to teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I held out until Stuart was in fifth grade. And it was a blessing to be able to do that. It was very important for me to be at home with them during those formative years.
Yeah, I think especially if you're able to, you should. You know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because I know that probably affected them so much, like in the long run, because they didn't have to be watched by some nanny or anyone. Oh, they like were able to have you pouring into them.
Absolutely. I was the one who got to see the first things of their lives, mm-hmm. and not somebody else. It was just so important to us to be able to do that. I got to be involved in their early elementary years, you know, as mm-hmm. room mother, and field trips and things that, you know, I would not have been able to do had I been working. So that was a blessing.
That's awesome.
Very much so.
And with Granddaddy being in Vietnam a little bit, was that kind of scary for you to just be like in Charleston kind of alone, like just praying that he'd be safe? Or,
well, he wasn't actually in Vietnam, thankfully.
But he was back and forth.
He was flying in and out, yes. And the trips that he would go on for were like maybe a week at a time.
Okay.
And he was all over the world, not just Vietnam, but, you know, taking trips all over. And it was really neat. The Air Force had a call line that but I could call it and find out where he was. You know, I knew where the trip was going.
Mm-hmm.
That just was able to tell me that he was where he should have been at that time, you know, and not had broken down anywhere.
Right.
And would be delayed getting home. That was comforting.
Yeah, but that gave you a lot of peace of mind, too.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, other Air Force wives and I have talked about that since then, that
really?
was that was good for all of us, yeah, to be able to know where they were. As far as Vietnam was concerned, he at the time they were on a list, and for so many overseas, they call them sorties, overseas sorties would move you down the list. So as you got to the top of the list, they would take so many would get sent to Vietnam. You know, you'd be your orders would be would change and go to Vietnam, not be here in Charleston like he was. I think they were taking like 8 a month, and he got down to within, he was number 15 on the list. It was pretty close. But thankfully, it's, you know, he kept moving away from it, and then Vietnam ended, thankfully.
Yeah.
So
That's a blessing.
that took care of that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's really sweet. And so then after my dad and aunts and uncles and all of them were born, like, and you got to just raise them and be with them and stuff, like, when did you start working again and like what did your life look like with kids versus, you know, single and married and all that?
We everywhere we were, we stayed very connected through church, which was a very important part, you know, of our lives. Before I started working again, obviously I was more involved with things at church, you know, with the children and then myself too. I went back to work in 87 when Stuart was in the fifth grade, and then taught for 17 years then from then.
Wow.
And with teaching, it was very difficult to stay as involved as I would like to have with church. So, you know, it was mainly just church and Sunday school on Sunday. I wasn't able to be involved with UMW, the women's organization, or, you know, other Bible studies or anything like that, because teaching and being a mother were two full-time jobs
For sure. You and mom talk
woven
about that a
together.
lot.
Woven together.
Yeah. But I mean, then once they started getting older and going to college and stuff, like you were able to get more involved again, like once you stopped teaching.
Really, yeah, not until I stopped teaching was I able really to get with church again and volunteering and doing the things that I'm doing now with that. So
Yeah.
that was very, very good.
Very sweet.
I got involved with a Bible study group, which I'm still a part of, very, very special group of ladies that
Has it been the same, like generally, like some of the same people the whole
yes.
time? That's sweet.
Yes. There's probably about maybe 10 or 12 of us that have been together all that time.
Yeah.
And we generally have about, we average probably about 20, and it fluctuates from study to study, but
It's good to have that, like as a core group
yes.
of women that can pour into you and kind of be
Absolutely.
their people that like know you like more than anyone else. I mean, not anyone else, but
Ab
like
ab
really well.
absolutely.
Yeah.
And then we through that we've gotten involved in different projects, and which have been very meaningful too. So that was very neat. And then at church I was involved in it's actually while I was still teaching in starting our care teams. And so then when I retired, I actually took the, I guess you say, the chairmanship of the flower team. And so I really enjoyed developing that, well,
Yes.
developing that somewhat
Yep.
and tweaking that and then continuing that. It's a very, very important endeavor.
Yeah. And you love plants. You're
Oh,
so good with plants.
yes.
When did that kind of
Well,
start for you? Like
oh,
flowers and plants, and was that just always like in your life?
always,
Was that from your
always,
mother or? Okay.
both, yes. We always had a huge garden, and I can remember as a child, Beck and I had a little playhouse, and we had a little spot beside it that was our little garden, and Mama let us do whatever we wanted to with it. But we were always involved with planting the garden and picking things, and then obviously canning and freezing all the rewards of that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, because that makes it worth it. Once you see, like, you've actually grown food and stuff, you're like, whoa, that's so cool.
Absolutely, yeah. Wasn't always thrilled about doing it, especially when I was in high school when it was so hot in the summertime.
And you're like, we have to pick weeds for an hour?
Oh, or shuck a bushel of corn that Daddy would pull before he went to work.
That's funny.
Maybe bushels. It was probably more than one.
I bet. Yeah.
I bet. We always teased him that he planted enough for the whole county. He wanted a huge garden.
If it was a small enough county, then honestly, maybe. If it did only have like five last names.
We shared with lots of people, so
yeah,
it was...
That's a blessing,
it
too.
It was good. Yes. Yes, it was.
So, I feel like if anyone knows you, they know you for your hospitality or your cooking or your plants. So, what is hospitality and kind of inviting people in and doing things for other people and being like loving other people well? What does that look like for you? And kind of how did you cultivate that throughout your life?
Well, it was just modeled for me all from, you know, my earliest days. The importance of, you know, sharing with others and loving them in hard times, mm-hmm. whatever they were going through, whether it was a death or a sickness or what. And, you know, it's just, I've, you know, with that background, I just, you know, continued that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just become a part of me, you know.
Yeah, and you're good at it too. It's sweet.
Well, thank you.
And you're my model for that, for sure. Like,
oh
yeah, oh no, I'm gonna cry. No, like, but definitely, like, when I think about being inviting and welcoming, like, I think of you.
Oh, Em, oh, how sweet, darling. But, you know, when you love others, you want to invite them in, you want to, you know, make meals that you know they enjoy, that they love, and just do special things for those that you love and care about.
Like when I went gluten-free, you made me gluten-free meals, even though you had no idea how to do that. You're like,
I don't,
I'm going to
figure
it out.
I figured it out yet, but...
It's sweet.
We're getting there. Yes. You and Mom have shown me where to shop and what to buy, and we're getting there.
Okay. Okay, and then I also wanted to ask you, what are some of the people that have been most influential in your life, and why? And that could be, like, your family, or it could be, like, a certain teacher you had, or anything.
Well, I would definitely have to say my parents and my maternal grandmother, who lived with us my entire life, looking back and seeing that that's what, you know, shaped me as a person, shaped my beliefs, my character, just my whole life on every level, seeing how important family was. My dad was from a very large family, and we'd always go and get together, and just, I mean, being one of nine, he was just, you know, it was just a big group of people, but very influential adults at church over the years, Sunday school teachers. Once I got in high school, I think the choir directors that I had were very influential. I had a Sunday school teacher in high school who was young and actually babysat her children. But she and her husband were very special, very influential.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think through my teaching years, colleagues were obviously influential in, you know, shaping my teaching skills, ability, you know, and helping with that. It's just, the people that the Lord has put in my life. It's just, you know, it's amazing. You don't realize it maybe when you're in this situation, but looking back on it, you know, you realize how important they were.
I think retrospect is more clear than, like, when you're in the situation.
Oh, definitely. Exactly. I guess that's why God doesn't let us see into the future. He wants us to benefit from where we've come and who's crossed our paths through all of that. The special friends that we've had. It's just amazing.
So what is the biggest piece of advice you would have for your 18-year-old self?
Oh, my goodness. Just to stay true to myself, true to the things that my parents had taught me. It was just a simpler time then. I look at what you with my grandchildren now are facing in this world, and it's just so different.
Yeah.
So, so different. But
yes, yeah, that's really good.
You know, staying close to the church, I think, was just so important, and which I did. I know I've heard and known, you know, of high school graduates who, you know, in their college years just left the church totally. But I did not, and I think that really helped me stay on the right path, for sure.
Definitely impacted who you are today.
Yes.
So, if you could leave me with one piece of advice, what would that be? Just in general.
Stay true to yourself, to your beliefs. Just don't be swayed by, you know, others around you, and just remember whose you are. And just be your sweet self.
Thank you. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. Isn't this your first podcast?
Yes, it is.
Yes, well, I'm honored that you said yes to talking with us today. And I just love you so much. You're such a joy. So thank you so much.
I love you too, sweetie.
And that was Becoming, Growing into Adulthood. Thank you so much for listening and following along on my journey making podcasts. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode and were able to learn something from it. Being able to listen to other people's stories is so impactful. Tune in next week to hear another episode.